You can turn in your Bibles to John 15. Way back, a while back, the Lord dropped something into my spirit for you guys, and I feel tonight I've been released to just share it. And it's called Get Back to First Love. It says, I hear the voice of Jesus calling his church back to first love. First things first. First words we speak in the morning are to him, the bright morning star. The first words we hear are his. The first thing we do before we make any decisions is pray. To lay down all the doing and begin to just be. Be in his presence. Be close to him. Be silent before him. Be still. Be reminded of his relentless love. Be fully persuaded that nothing, not one thing, can separate us from his love. Be convinced he will do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Get right with him. Make things right for others. Get rid of all hindrances and all that clutters our heart and mind. Shut the TV. Unplug the pods. Bury the Blackberries and all the modern day anesthetics that desensitize the voice of God. Shut out the voices. Shut up and shut in. Listen to the still voice of God. God is calling his people back to first love. So remember where you fell from and go back. Return to the last thing he told you to do before you fell. Obey God. Don't go back to Egypt. Get up, get in the prayer closet. He hears every groan, those things that are twisted in your heart that you can't get out of your mouth. God hears. God cares. He will hold you by his right hand. Remind us we are righteous in him. We are kept by his power of his love. He did for us what we can't do for ourselves. The work is done. It is finished. When you say I can't, he can and he will. Get up, get out. Get back to your first love and let Jesus do for you what you can't do for yourself. Do you hear the Lord calling you back to first love? I wonder how many of you are sitting here tonight. Maybe you're in the struggle of your life and maybe you feel this drawing from the Lord. This intense craving, this longing. And sometimes we can mistake that in wanting something or someone or a relationship or getting somewhere in our job or reaching a goal. And all the while, it's this intensive craving, and it really is for the Lord, because only the Lord could satisfy us. Amen. And the title of my message tonight is The Power of a Vine Branch Intimacy. And I thought to myself, how could I explain this word intimate? And I just wrote a couple of things down. It's two people getting to know each other, really getting to know each other, to learn about each other, to laugh with each other, to cry with each other, to share joy, to share sadness, to talk to each other, to listen to each other, to speak private stuff to each other, to trust each other. It's an intense love. And it's an unbreakable bond of friendship. And in John 15, it talks about this relationship. And I hope tonight, as I'm speaking this word to you, that the Lord, by his Spirit, creates a craving and a longing for him more than anything else, a desire. The most important thing you can choose after you choose the Lord is to put him first and to be alone with him. I feel like sometimes we leave his friendship for service for him. The Bible says in John 15, I don't call you servants any longer because the servant don't even know what I'm doing. I have called you friends. And God is longing for a people that would seek his face, that would trust him, that would allow him to love you and you to love him back just because, not for anything, just for him. John 15, 1 Verse 8, 1 to verse 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it bear much more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Circle that verse. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples." God is calling his church back to a vine branch intimacy. In verse 2, you see this vine dresser, this jealous God of ours. It's God the Father. He takes away, and it says he takes away. And I don't know, maybe you're in a season where God is taking stuff away from you. Let it go. The Bible says no good thing will he withhold. He takes away anything and removes any clutter, any clamor, any obstacle that will hinder him from getting to you. You know, the heart, the human heart, is deeply embedded to worship something. We were created that way. And when we're not worshiping God, we're worshiping something else. Either way, we're going to worship. In verse 3, it speaks about you're already clean because of the word. And the Lord looks at you tonight. If you are in Christ, you are clean. It doesn't matter what you feel like. It doesn't matter if you're failing. It doesn't matter if you're struggling. God sees you through his Son, Jesus Christ. A perfect God made a perfect sacrifice and died on a cross so that when the Father deals with you, he's dealing with his Son. That's the vine and the branch. The gardener, the Father, rigged this whole thing, and the branch is just there to be, and the Holy Ghost is a sap that flows through us unhindered to produce fruit. It's all about being. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And in that one act, when the blood of Jesus was shed, he made us whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. That God looks at you and says, you're lovely and you're clean tonight. In the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your failure, God is calling you clean. Not for the game player, but for those who are honest with God. But there's just a struggle. You know, sin, confess. God is saying, I see you, I love you, and I'm with you. I'm for you, not against you. And if God is for us, who could be against us? In verse 4, he says, abide in me, because without me, you can do nothing. How many of you learned some of that lesson already? Oh, yeah, a lot of hands. And it's a wonderful thing that he rigged it that way. Because after we get so tired of doing things in our own way and we get exhausted and we knock ourselves out, he says, I've been here all along. I'm just standing here waiting for you to, you know, I'm just wanting to help you. But sometimes we go through processes where God has to take us to teach us. And, you know, if you're in a hard experience right now, just a hard situation, you know, when you come out of it, you're going to have more of him and less of yourself. And it'll be meat and food for someone. This word abide in, it speaks to me of position. And along with what I was just saying, the Bible says that we're seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. This word in is critical because I in him, you in him, we as one, Jesus said, we are in Christ. Christ is in us. So this position is immovable. When the Lord speaks about a branch, when they want to graft a branch into the vine, they make this little snug hole, and it's almost like they put this little branch into this snuggliest hole, almost like it's being hugged. And what I was reading about, it said the roots from the vine begin to grow downward, and the roots from the branch begin to grow upward until they're one. And when they become one, that's when the sap flows through. Is anybody hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. Nothing can separate you. It's an unbreakable bond that God positioned you in. It's not that you need to get there. You're already there because of what Christ has done for you. Have you ever felt the Lord reach out and pull you towards his presence? Beautiful, right? I was so blown away because, you know, every time the Lord asks me to speak something, I always ask him for just a living experience. And, you know, I was like, Lord, show me what it means to abide. Like, you know, just sneak up on me. Just, you know, Shekinah me with your glory. And a couple of days ago, I was just sitting in God's presence praying for you guys and praying for the word. And I went to get up, and I felt like him go. I was so taken back, I just started crying, and I just remained there. You know, and it reminds me of that scripture in John 14, because when he calls us to abide, if you see John 14, I think it's verse 13 or 16, it says that if you abide in me, he says, and then I will send you a helper, and he will be with you. He's an advocate, and he will abide in you. And the abiding comes from the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you find yourself unable to linger in his presence, to linger for intimacy, call out on the Holy Ghost and ask the Holy Spirit to draw you. The Bible says, I will draw you and you will come to me. It's the vine, and the branch is just being. There's no job for the branch to do but be. Be and believe. Faith takes us in. Unbelief locks us out. Is there a longing in your heart to know him and to linger in his presence? Maybe some of you are sitting here tonight and, you know, friendships are dissolving, and just where you had like a lot of phone calls coming in, it seems like, wow, and almost to the point where you're getting lonely, or you're wondering, is something wrong with you? No, there's nothing wrong with you. Let the Lord draw you. There's going to be seasons in your life where the creator of the universe wants to call you to himself. And when you see it that way, there's nothing worth more than getting in God's presence and being filled with his love and filled with his power. Because when you choose him first, everything else flows from that intimacy. Your relationships, your ministry, what you give to people, we get from the vine. Amen. Have you ever heard the Lord whisper to you, come away with me, because I want to see your face. I want to hear your voice. Your face is lovely. And your voice is lovely to me too. He longs to fellowship with us until he creates an unbreakable bond of friendship. He longs to fellowship with us. Have you ever thought of God needing you to listen to him? Maybe he needs to share his pain with you, or maybe unburden himself. He created us. He created you and me, and the way we long for friendships and people and to communicate, he's the creator. He rigged us. He's the same as we are, in a sense. And he longs for that. And we make it so complicated. And all God is doing is trying to reach out tonight and make you understand, I long to be with you. I have so many things I want to share with you. I have so many things to say to you. And you think about this word abide. And what does it mean to abide? To me, it means union and communion. It talks about a oneness. Because when you read in John 17, he talks about it. I and you, you and me, we as one. That the same love Jesus was praying, that Father, you have for me, is in them. That's amazing to me. It talks to me about total acceptance. That on a good day or a bad day, we're accepted because we're grafted into the vine. We're brought into the vine. So we don't have to try to, you know, be a branch. You know, we don't have to try to be a branch. We just have to be and let our roots go way down deep and let his love sink into ours and our love sink into his. It's total acceptance. And we go into the presence of God not to be accepted, but because we are accepted. Hallelujah. It's a place. It's your post, what you're called to. You want to know what your calling is? Everybody's wondering, running here and there, what they're called to, what their ministry is. Your first calling is called to the face of God. That's your post. It's a place we occupy. It's a place we man. It's getting away from everything else to occupy one place, stay there and linger. It's getting away from everyone else to be alone with Jesus. To stay there and linger. And we're not called to produce fruit. We're called to bear fruit. You know people that are trying to produce their own fruit? They'll be like, I just got some joy. You know, and they're trying to squeeze it out. Or, you know, somebody that's trying to love somebody in their own strength. I just love you. You can see by their face, it's like they're miserable trying to do this. I have peace. Did you ever see a peach like trying to strain its way out, or is it just there? But we do that. We do that. But the vine gets, the vine gives to the branch all that it is. It gives to the branch all that it is. Everything it is, we receive from the vine, and it's for free. All that he is, all that he wants us to be, is given to us. It's given to us. Abiding is an invitation when God calls us away from our own selves and our own strength into him and his strength. I don't know how many of you are struggling here. You get up in the morning and you grit your teeth and you clench your fist and you're like, I'm not going to do this anymore. Or you're so disgusted. Maybe you're going through something, and maybe a habit or something that you really know that God wants to get rid of, and it's just there like Goliath, roaring, roaring in the morning and roaring in the evening. And so you know, we're moved because we do is naturally, you know, we're moved to get this thing out of the way. And God says, just be, just believe. Just believe in me. It's faith that takes us in. It's unbelief that locks us out. Faith says, I believe that he is. And he is all I need and all I ever will be is because of him. It's a confident attitude in God and his word for us. God makes the promises. God keeps the promises. And he calls us into this unbreakable bond of friendship with him, and it's amazing. We're attached to the vine by faith. We're secured by his love. We're strengthened by the Holy Spirit, and that's how we move forward into his promises. His promises lead you into a perfect rest and a perfect peace. You can actually lie down in his promises and use his word as a pillow. Hallelujah. There's a rest there in abiding. Hallelujah. We can choose to get in his presence, and we can choose to give him all of us, every part of us. There's nothing more important. If I could sit here with each and every one of you tonight, I am living this thing. I am a living proof that this thing is the only way. And when you begin to seek God like this, and when you begin to trust him like this, and when you begin to take him at his word, and when you begin to push everybody out, and you begin to get rid of all the clutter and all the clamor, and you just get in the presence of God, he will be for you everything and anything that you need. And in John 15:2, he says, I will prune every branch to bear more fruit. This is not a bad thing. This is sometimes getting rid of the good for the better and the best. Amen? Amen? Sometimes there's vigorous wood on that stem, and it speaks to me of a really good relationship. These are good things, a really good ministry. And God says, lay it down for a while. God says, lay that friendship down for a while, because it's vigorous. It's taking away your strength, and it's hindering me from being all that I want to be for you. Anybody hearing me in the house tonight? Hallelujah. It's the cutting away. It's when I was like studying some of this, it's the cutting away of as much as the branch as possible so that the branch takes on the identity of the vine. Where John the Baptist says, I must decrease so he could increase. Hallelujah. Cutting away of the self-life, cutting away of self-sufficiency, cutting away of self-strength, self-righteousness, all our religious acts. It's coming to the end of our own strength until we have no confidence in the flesh. And this is a covenant-keeping God. If you are in a situation that I'm talking about right now, and you keep hitting a brick wall, or you keep sin confessing, and you feel like you're getting knocked out, God is keeping covenant with you. And if that very struggle leads you to God, not away from him, you could get ready for an unbreakable bond of friendship with an intimacy like you've never known. Just think about it. If every time you failed, you ran into the arms of God. You know, the fear of God is running to God, not away from him. The devil will come and condemn you. And he has no right to condemn you because he has to go through Jesus Christ to get to you. And what could he say to Jesus? If God is for us, who is against us? If Jesus died for us, who is he that would condemn us? There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. No struggle, no failure. Oh, you could give him praise. But thank the Lord. We are attached to the vine, wholly dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit enables us, it leads us, it guides us. It says the flesh wars against the spirit wars against the flesh, but the Holy Ghost gives us desires that are opposite than the flesh. So don't walk in the flesh. Walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Sometimes we try to stop doing what we know we shouldn't be doing when all we need to do is walk in the spirit. God, this is what your word says. God, I believe that you could do this in me. God, you're asking me to obey you. In and of myself, I can't. But Lord, you sent the Holy Spirit. If you're commanding me to do it, the Holy Ghost is going to come and enable me and empower me. And it's just that simple. It's just that simple. We make it so complicated, but it's not for the gameplay. It's not for the divided heart. It's not for someone that really wants to have that sin as a pet. Colossians 2:11 says, when you came to Christ, we were circumcised, not by a physical procedure. This had nothing to do with man. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. Something supernatural happened when you came to Christ. He said to sin, your time is up. He said to the devil, no more. When Jesus Christ died for you and died for me, he broke the power of sin, hell, the devil, fear, guilt, and condemnation. He said, no more to sin. The word of God is a knife. The pruning speaks about the cutting away. It's a knife. It cuts asunder to soul and spirit. It goes into the intentions. It reveals the intentions of your heart. It gets right through. Right now, God is pruning you. If the gospel is coming forth and you're receiving the word, that God is cutting away that sin. God is cutting away wrong motives. God is cutting away selfishness. God is cutting away self-righteousness. God is coming and cutting away so that you can walk in the newness of the Spirit. All things have passed. All things have become new. It's already done by the blood of Jesus. We just need to act like it. The self-life is severed. The old ways of thinking, old ways of doing things. There's a changed behavior. Come on, you know you're not what you were yesterday. Thank God, right? Where would you be on a Friday night back then? I used to go out Friday and come home the next Friday. My mother used to call the cops for me. Oh, I'm talking about he needed to do some surgery on me. I think I give God a hand. I think I'm a handful for God. I'll tell you the truth. But nothing is impossible with God. Amen. When we come to Christ, we die to our old ways of living. We die to our old ways of thinking. The sin that had control over you and over me and over our life is powerless. It's as if sin's power source is cut off. Hallelujah. We give up our old ways to experience the newness of the Spirit. And in Romans 6, I just want to just, I hope that this, it's going to take me like 3 minutes, but I hope that this would be a brick of truth. I'm giving you all new covenant tonight. This is all about what Christ has done for us. This is about God the Father sending God the Son and God the Son sending the Holy Spirit that to live in us. You know, when you have Christ in you, you don't have to worry if you're going the right way. He is the way. You don't have to worry about if you're walking in the Spirit. He is the Spirit. If you agree with him, if you don't break harmony with him, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your failure, God won't leave or forsake you. That's good news tonight. Oh, God, help me to get this out. Romans 6 talks about the power to have a right response to a completed work. A right response to a completed work. In Romans 6, you read this chapter, it talks about sin is rendered inoperative. Sin's power source was cut off. You have the ability to make right choices because of what God has done for you, because God, by his Spirit, performed a supernatural work in you. Romans 6:8 says, having been set free, you became slaves of righteousness. Do you understand that? Having been set free, when you were set free, you were already becoming a new person. It's nothing you had to do. You became that because God says you're clean. God says you're holy. God says you're pure. God says, I see you through my Son. It's a right response to a completed work when you put your faith in these facts. Romans 6:6 says, we know our old sinful selves were crucified. I like to say my old sinful self. Like, I like the way that it says that. Was crucified with Christ, that sin might lose its power. Think about that thing you're struggling with. Do you understand this tonight? Do you understand that you're one right choice away from the Holy Ghost doing for you what you can't do for yourself? Don't listen to the devil's lies. Don't listen to the devil telling you that thing is never going to leave. You're never going to change that besetting sin. He's a liar. Tell him to shut his mouth. He's a toothless lion. He can roar, but he can't bite. But he can't roar louder than the Lion of Judah. We know it's important, it says. We know our old sinful selves was crucified. And that word we know is key. We know. Did you know? Do you know that? Do you believe that? It's key to be in the Word of God. It's key to know the Word. Because if you know what the Word of God says about you and your struggle, then you could agree with the Word and God could set you free. It's key to know that when you are going to do something the way you used to do in your past life, it's key to know, it's important to know that that old sinful self was crucified and now the decisions I used to make, I don't have to make. I can make another decision. I can make the right choice because all heaven's arsenal and the power of the Holy Spirit is backing my choice up. You're not alone anymore. He'll dispatch angels if he has to fight one demon off you. Do we know that? It's so important to believe in the Word, to get into the Word. The key to answered prayer, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and I will do it for you. It says in Romans 7, that's because you know, and if you believe, it says, and when you understand there's a right response to already completed work, that Jesus has done everything for you. Romans 6:12 says, don't let sin control the way you live. Don't give in to sinful desires. Don't let any part of your body become an instrument for evil. Don't have sex. Don't, boom, 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 fill in the blank. Instead, it says, you have a choice now. When in your old life, you didn't. You were captivated to those old ways. You were captivated to drugs. You were captivated to wrong relationships, immorality, and sex without the bounds of man. You were captivated by that. You were captivated by the fear of man. But now it says, instead, give yourselves completely to God, which says to me and it says to you, you have a choice. And God can say to you tonight, do not, because it made it possible for you not to do. Are you hearing me tonight? He says, do not. And he's not saying do not like a father that stands there and says, I'm looking for you to mess up. That's why I'm telling you not to do it. Because no, he says do not because he made a way for you. Hallelujah. The command is always backed up with the power of the Holy Spirit. Agree with his word and yield to the Holy Spirit. And it's like the old man, new man, but the old man doesn't die. That's where the struggle comes in and people get tripped up. The old man, the power and the dominion of that old man is crushed. That's why it says, reckon yourself dead. I reckon I'm dead to that. You understand what I'm saying? But that you can make decisions from the new man. And how do you make decisions from the new man? You get into the word and you see what God says. Wisdom is just finding out what God wants us to do and doing it. And trusting him for the power to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I came to this church in 1998. Pastor David Wilkerson, I am a product of this man, his preaching, and his example. All he preached was intimacy, new covenant, get into the prayer closet. Intimacy, new covenant, get into the prayer closet. Intimacy, new covenant. I used to go in the closet because I thought that was good. I didn't know. Oh, I was so hungry for Jesus, and when God touched me, he supernaturally delivered me. Many of you know my testimony. I struggled from 13 to 36 years old in every kind of addiction you could imagine. And one cry, a feeble cry, "Lord, if you're real, change me." And he broke the powers of darkness over me. And he led me to this church. And when I came to this church, I was working for a courier service. I used to drive a little truck around the city, and I would deliver freight all over the place. And I was working, and I hurt my back. Quickly after I got saved, I pulled out two discs. So I used to come to this church and sit all the way up there, not the last seat in the balcony, but behind the last seat, because for 2 months I couldn't sit down. And I was out of work, and I just gave everything to the Lord. I heard the voice say, "Seek my face." And my heart said back, "Lord, I'll seek your face." I got rid of all my friends. I ripped out my phone. I gave them all my Saturdays. I came to every altar call. It could be a man mass murder. I was at this altar call. I had a big old Bible. I was so hungry for Jesus. I understood he had a calling. And I did this for 6 months. And I remember going back to work after 6 months. I was on disability, and I was walking down to the warehouse, and I was like, "Lord, I'm going to miss you so much. I wish I could get 6 more months. And I walked back into the warehouse, and I didn't even get to my truck, and my supervisor said, "Cammy, you're still walking funny. Go out for another 6 months." I'm like, God is good. I don't recommend a disability or anything, but this is just my story. I'm sorry. You see, God in his grace made me understand the most important decision is when he gives you a new heart, give it back to him. Give it back to him. And I remember having to go back after the 6 months, and I was upset again. And I told Pastor Teresa, and I said, "Pastor Teresa, I've been spending hours with the Lord." I said, "I have to be at work at 7 in the morning. She said, "Get up at 4. And she told me this, and she said, "If you give God that time, he'll guard it. It'll be hard. Set your alarm." And I'm telling you, I did this. And I'm telling you, God has never failed to keep me in the presence, to keep me intimate with him. All my life, I suffered and didn't know where I was going. And when God touched me, I gave him all of me. And when I got to the next job, I was really good at this. I was so fast in the next job, it was with another company, that I ended up having 4 hours. 4 hours a day in my truck. My supervisor, Armando, used to say, "Cammy, what are you doing out there?" "Armando, I'm reading my Bible." Because the Lord said, "Give me that time. Give me back that time." And I would go in the back of my truck, and I would pray, and I would read my Bible, and I would cry out to God to change this, because I was a mess. I needed a lot of work, amen? And I remember, you know, the Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you could ask what you want. And I don't know what you're desiring, but you have to know that your desires have to line up with the word of God. And I heard one day the Lord say to me, I had this feeling, and I was only saved 8 months, I want to be in full-time ministry. And the Lord said, I thought, well, maybe in 8 years, you know, because very soon I understood I was called to preach the gospel. I was right up there in that balcony when God touched me. And he told me, get up on your feet because you're going to preach my gospel. And I was like, oh, God, I believe, help my unbelief. But I took him at his word. Amen. I'm standing here preaching to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. But, he said, ask me what you want. And I thought, like, delight yourself in the Lord to give you, I thought it was like a marriage scripture. I don't know what I thought that was for. I'm like, I don't want to get married. So he said, no, what do you want? And the thing I really wanted, I mean, I used to sit in this balcony come Sunday, 10, 3, and 6. I didn't even have money for tokens. That's how long ago I'm talking, about 13 years ago. And I sit up there, and I had nowhere to go, and I'll be like, I wonder what goes on behind the scenes here. I would love to work here. And I got this strong desire. And the Lord said, ask me. And 2 weeks later, Treg McCoy from the missions department, he called me and he said, Lisa, we have a job here for you. He said, you know what? Jimmy Macquarie from the tape ministry asked me if I could find a person to, you know, run this tape ministry. And he said, I kept praying and seeing your face. And how he kept seeing my face was because I would come down all the way from the balcony, every altar call, come right here with this big old Bible and Miami Dolphins sweatshirt on. And he would be like, who is this girl? Where did she come from? And when he was praying, God kept putting my face in his prayer, and he found me at home, and I've been working here over 10 years. I don't need to say anymore, right? I can honestly tell you, I have never missed a day with the Lord. I'm not trying to put you in works. Oh, but young people, if I can make you understand this, I have been all over the world. Every door, I am walking on a conveyor belt of faith. You know what I'm talking about? You ever go to the supermarket, you walk in, the door swings right open. Doors are swinging right open for me. I don't ask for anything, but I'm available to do anything. And I love to preach his gospel. And I love to pray for you. And I love to see you set free. And if there's anything that I could do in my life, I desire to provoke you to intimacy. A vine branch intimacy, we're talking about a power, allows the Holy Spirit to flow through us unhindered to produce fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Acts 1:8, we're talking about the power of a vine branch intimacy. You shall receive power, explosive power, dunamis power, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. That word dunamis is, it means taken from a place of incapability and made able, made capable by the power. You shall receive it. You don't have to buy it. He gives it to us for free. Do you want it? Is there a longing? Is there a seeking? Is there a craving in your heart? You know, sometimes what you're craving for, the Lord makes you crave like that to make him know that that's him, the way he feels for you, craving for your presence. In John 15, from 4 to 7, talking about the power of a vine branch intimacy. When you're intimate like this, you get power to abide, power to answer prayer, power to be loved, power to obey. You could say amen at any time. Power to joy in what Jesus joys in. Power to be full of joy. Power to love one another. Power to lay down one's life for one another, for their friends. Let me read this last scripture to you, and I'm closing. John 14 says, as the musicians come, where are you? No. John 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all the things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. It's a total relationship shift from servant to friendship. Friendship, power to hear and know the Father's deepest secrets, and power for fruit to remain. Is anybody wanting this tonight? And all you got to do is be. Believe. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'll just call some things out. Every eye closed. Coming to the altar is really not a big thing, but it worked for me. It's the bending of the knee in your heart. Do you know there's a knee in your heart that bends? And each time you bend, and each time you hear a word like this and say, I want this. God, I want this. God, and even if you don't want it and you're not willing, he's willing to make you willing. And you bend to his will, and he gives you the greatest hug you'll ever feel in your life. You may be here and you may have little strength and little hope, and you may feel like a sagging branch. You don't feel like you're bearing fruit, you're dull, you're fragile. You can't even get in the prayer closet. God says, come. He wants to touch you tonight. In John 15, verse 2, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. You know part of that word, another meaning in the Greek, you know what it means? It's not a removal of something. It's to lift up something that's sagging. God wants to lift you up tonight. To lift up a sagging branch, you're almost broken. Or you're almost broken off, or maybe you're turning back in your heart. And God says he wants to tenderly come, gently, and lift you up. Or maybe you're cast out and withered, and there's a fire burning, a fire of lust, fires of anger. There's explosive anger, ungodly cravings, besetting sins, a piece of dead wood. You're drifting away, and God says, you can come. And then there are those, and I talked to some of the leaders here, too. Don't settle for being connected to God when you can be attached. Don't settle for that. Don't settle for familiarity when you can have intimacy. Don't settle to be acquaintance with Jesus when he wants to be your husband, your maker, your mother, your father, the lover of your soul. Hallelujah. God, I just pray, and if you want to come forth as I'm praying, God, that you would move all over this place, Lord. I bless your name, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, I've said what you wanted me to say, Lord. Draw your people with cords of love. Draw, Lord, fight for these young people tonight, Lord. God, you're so bent towards them, God, how you love them, Lord. Fight for them right now. Fight for them. Every power of darkness, you must loose your grip in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let your spirit just flow. Let your spirit just flow. Fight for this army that you're raising up. I thank you for it, Lord.
The altars are still open. If you feel that tug of the Holy Spirit, don't resist it. This is your opportunity. You know, the pruning process is a painful one, but it's so, so necessary. So if you're in a situation where you don't understand and it's painful and you've prayed and nothing has changed, trust that God's in the midst. Trust that he wants to use that situation to maybe purge something in your life that shouldn't be there. Just trust him. He craves for intimacy. Can you imagine the creator of heaven and earth wants to have intimacy with us? What a beautiful thought. What an awesome thought of grace and of love. You know, sometimes we fight it. Sometimes we allow the enemy to lie to us and we listen. But don't let him steal this moment from you. So the altars are still open. You know, let me give you an example. Just 1999, I was in a situation, in a work situation where it was very difficult for me. And I was praying, Lord, deliver me, and he did not. And then I got the sense that God just wanted me to endure that. But I went ahead and tried on my own to leave that work location. And I interviewed at this place that seemed just the perfect place for me, the perfect job. And I went and interviewed, and they did not give me the job, and I was so upset. I even wrote a letter, you know, how dare you not hire me, you know, that kind of stuff. And I knew that it was God allowing, not opening that door, allowing me to endure what was happening. Let me not forget to mention that the place that I was interviewing was Dean Witter on the 105th floor at the World Trade Center. God knows all things. He loves us. He wants intimacy with us. Let's trust him. Let's trust him. Let's lay down those things that we have to confess. Lord, I love this. This, whatever this may be in your life. But I want to give it to you. Allow him to do that. Allow him to purge you. Surrender to him. To surrender to his grace and his glory. He is so willing to help you. So willing to love you and for you to love him and know him in a special way. I'm going to ask Lisa to come back up and pray for you tonight as you surrender all your cares, all your needs, all your worries, all your troubles to him, and he will be faithful to his word and his promises tonight.
Just feeling like some of you have such a sense of unworthiness that even though you're hearing the words, God loves me, your heart is like an ice cube because there may be something that has happened to you, like our dear sister Kate. Maybe you've been touched in a wrong way, been betrayed by people that should have kept you safe and loved you, and the shame and the sting of the betrayal and that hurt and that pain. But God says to you tonight, open up your arms wide and give him free range to your heart. And you'll find that he's such a gentle Savior. You'll find that he's gentle and lowly. And he says to you tonight, you couldn't get to me, but I came to you. And God wants to break the power of that shame and that unworthiness, because his blood can clean any dirt, amen, can break any bondage, can set the captives free, can break the power of darkness that has gripped you and your family from generation to generation. His hand could reach deep down into any pit, because there's no pit so deep that Jesus isn't deeper still. And he wants to pluck you out of the net tonight and set your feet on a rock. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place tonight. Lord, I ask you to fight for these young people. Fight for them. Fight for them, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you will, oh God, touch them. Touch them, Lord. Let them be God touched. Let them be God gripped. Lord, I pray against the betrayal and the sting of these experiences, God. And I thank you that in the name of Jesus, the power of darkness is broken. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I stand in a gap for these young people. In the name of Jesus, tormented minds are being freed. In the name of Jesus, shattered emotions are being healed. Oh, in the name of Jesus, wounded hearts are being set free and warmed like a fire. Like a fire, Lord. Lord, you promised in Hebrews 1:7, you make your ministers a flame of fire. I pray for the intensity of your fire to burn out the darkness, Lord, and to stir this generation. Stir up this generation. Stir them up, God, to pray. Stir them up to worship. Raise up intercessors, Lord. Fill them afresh today with the Holy Ghost. Lord, fill them with the Holy Ghost. Why don't you open up your mouth and ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit? Just open up your mouth. He loves to hear your voice. Open up. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Just lift up your hands. God, I thank you. Lord, I pray a blessing all over them, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, help us to love you, God. We're so desperate for you. Lord, I hear you calling us, God. I hear you calling, God. The yearning of your heart, the desire of your heart is for us to know you. Lord, you said this is eternal life, that they would know me. Lord, I ask you, God, that you would create a longing to seek your face. Holy Spirit, you create things that aren't there. I pray for a supernatural working, a creation tonight, Lord, of a longing and a seeking for you and you alone. And God, I thank you that you're breaking the resistance for them to get into their prayer closet. You're breaking the stupor of them when they can't read their word. You're breaking the power of lethargy over them. You're breaking the power of deception. You're breaking the power of darkness. And you're releasing into them, God, a desire to know you, to linger in your presence. God, let this be the first of many nights as they stay longing and lingering. God, that was my prayer. I want to be a woman who lingers in your presence. Make that your prayer tonight. He's faithful to answer a prayer like that. He'll never turn a prayer like that down. Cause this generation to linger in your presence. Cause this generation to linger in your presence. Cause this generation to wise up and walk contrary to the world. Cause this generation to speak into strongholds and to show the world that Jesus is alive and that Jesus saves and that Jesus loves. Go, Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing. Nobody saves like you, God. Nobody stays like you. Nobody sets free like you. You are good. You are good. You are good, Lord. And your mercy endureth forever. And we thank you. We thank you for what you're going to do. You said with prayers, petitions, and supplications, and the thanksgiving and the peace of God will be a fortress around our hearts and minds. I pray that they would go in peace and in your power, God. And this would be the first of many days that they linger in your presence, God. That, Lord, when that phone rings, God, that you would pull them back and give them a bear hug, and they would know, Lord, that that's you constraining them and maintaining them and sustaining them. God, I thank you for this. I believe you for it, Lord. I believe you for miracles tonight, God. I believe you for this, Lord. I believe the lame will skip like a deer. Oh, God, I believe you, God. I believe you. I believe you, God. You're so good. Lord, touch the band and touch the worship team. Touch the leaders, God, that they would be ministry unto you, Lord. That songs would flow from your presence, God. That notes and chords would be played from your presence, God. That you give them a warrior worship spirit, God, because they've been in your presence, God. I pray for those that can't get there, God. Break the resistance, God. Let it be done according to your will, God. I thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name.